Good morning. According to today our program, so now this morning session, as I would like to give some brief explanation about the three kayas for 1 hour, and then maybe also I think I'm going to do together the group, the practice, we are chanting together the three kayas mantra. Actually, I thought this is quite important because there are many of you receiving many initiation and many teachings, but I think quite difficult to get time for practice, so I thought this is a good opportunity to practice together in the group. But I think that most people just only like to receive initiation, because you see there's very few number of students compared to yesterday in session. So anyway, so it's the, I think the quantity is not so important, the quality of people who wish to practice, so that's I think most important. So that's why, so first I would like to give some general explanation about the three kayas, and then also, so together we do the short prayers to Buddha Amitabha, and then also we can chant with the melody, and with the melody and without melody we can chant several malas recitation, and then also we could do short dedication for dead, and then also next Sambhogakaya, which is Avalokiteshvarava, and then Nirmanakaya from Guru Rinpoche. So these three kayas we will do together in the practice chanting prayer. The three kaya usually we call the Dharma kaya, and the Sambhogakaya kaya, and the Nirmana kaya. When we're talking about the Buddha, the nature, it's also actually the nature of our mind, or the Buddha nature, which is the refer to the Dharmakaya, and the teachings of Lord Jigten Sungpan. Actually, he also mentioned that each kaya contains other two. So that means that the Dharmakaya contains also Sambhogakaya and Nirmanakaya, and then Nirmanakaya also has a Dharmakaya and Sambhogakaya. And Sambhogakaya also contains other two. So that means it's not totally, the three kaya is totally different and not really separate. Because when we're talking about it from our, as we are human being, ordinary people, we also said that we, from the beginning, we have the seat of the three kaya, which is the our body is referred to like the Nirmanakaya, and our the speech is Sambhogakaya, and our the heart is the Dharmakaya, and in this way, usually from the beginning, so we already have the nature of the seat of the three kayas. As yesterday, I explained that during the initiation when we see the was in session, in secret in session, or did, in that circumstances also we are receiving the seat of these different the three kayas. But actually there are not only three, so there are actually four kaya and five kayas, but including the three kaya, we, and three kaya also we call this Choku and Suku. Choku is the Dharma kaya, and then Zuk means the form kaya, which is referred to Sambhogakaya kaya and the Nirmana kaya. Because there are the two types of the Dharma kaya and Rupa kaya, it is called the form kaya or Rupa kaya. So that means that for one set is Dharma kaya, So the Dharmakaya is not, Dharmakaya is for own benefit, it's a Dharmakaya, and then in order to benefit for other sentient beings. So that is the manifestation of the Dharmakaya, which is Sambhogakaya and the Nirmanakaya. The Sambhogakaya from like Manjushi and Avalokiteshvara, all this kind of like the get the Bodhisattva forming the Sambhogakaya endowed with the, all the measure and manner marks. So this is called the Sambhogakaya. The Sambhogakaya is only can appear to the high the Bodhisattva level. We can't see ordinary people, we can't see the Sambhogakaya. And the Nirmanakaya can be seen, there's many, because actually there's four different types of Nirmanakaya. One is called Chokituku. Chokituku means the excellent Nirmanakaya. So that's the refers to Buddha Shakyamuni, who shows 12 activities. So this is called we call Chokituku, excellent Nirmanakaya like Buddha Shakyamuni. And then Sotoku. Sotoku is the that's the Buddha the also manifests as a the Zo is like we can refer to like artists, and in the artists and many different form, like it can be like doctor and artist, and in this form Buddha also manifests in a different form in this kind of activity. So this is called the Nirmanakaya of Zotoku. Zo is actually sort of artisan. And in the Kewatoku, so Kewatoku means the Nirmana, the Buddha also manifests as animals like elephant and pig and monkey, and there are some monkey Bodhisattva, deer Bodhisattva. There are many, the Buddha and Bodhisattva also manifest in the form of animals in order to benefit for sentient beings. So that's called the Kewatoku, as a born as an animal. And the another one is Nasotoku. Nasotoku means, Naso means like, can I say diversity? In many different forms. Sometimes also it can be like in a different form, it's not necessarily in the showing the good activity in order to benefit for sentient beings, like can be become like hunter and also the selling alcohol, and this kind of form we call the Nasotoku. So all these are the many different the classification of the Nirmanakaya. The Dharmakaya, the real Buddha, is the we call the Dharmakaya, which is the many texts also explaining that the Nirmanakaya, the Dharmakaya is the like a sky, and then the Sambhogakaya and Nirmanakaya, in which is the sun and moon which appear in the sky. So similar to that, the Nirmanakaya and Sambhogakaya is also manifestation of the Dharmakaya. And so when we, as earlier I mentioned, like each the kaya also contains other two. So that means like the example Salva. Salva is I think the clarity, and then Tomba is the emptiness. And the unity is that Salva and the clarity and unity together. So that means the clarity of the Nirmanakaya of Sambhogakaya is refers to the Nirmanakaya clarity. It's better to be called the Salva. The part of the clarity of Nirmanakaya and Sambhogakaya is the Nirmanakaya. And then the part of emptiness side of the Sambhogakaya and Nirmanakaya, that is the Sambhogakaya, And then the unity of the clarity and emptiness, so that's mainly referred to the Dharmakaya. So that's why all the three kayas contain this other truth. That's the explanation from the logic and so on. Here, the each of the kaya, like Dharmakaya and Sambhogakaya and Nirmanakaya, has eight different types of characteristic. So the Dharmakaya also has eight, you can say, characteristic or eight different kinds of quality. And the first one is the, we call the sameness. So sameness means like the Tibetan word called chipa. Chipa means the same. So that means, so there is no difference between the Dharmakaya. So like all the Dharmakaya is a previous Buddha or future Buddha or present Buddha, whatever, when they become fully enlightened. And then there's no differences between the, this is, we can't judge, we can't make a distinction, this is the previous and the future, the Buddha is same as like we call the, usually we call an example, the empty of the words. If you put here the few different types of words which is made out of different material, and then of course the outside is like, this is made out of gold, this is made out of silver, this is made out of clay, and we can also make a differences from the outside. But inside the empty side, there's no differences. We can't say, oh, this is the empty of, or empty, or this is the space of the gold and silver, so there's no difference in color, there's no shape, and so it's totally sameness. So similar to that, so when, so Buddha become a fully enlightened, and so there's no differences between the Buddha. So we call the Bodhisattva when they engage in the 10 bhumis, and then after the 10 bhumi, usually we say that there's also some discussion, sometimes also we call that the empowerment is only exists in the Tantra, and then Sutra doesn't have any empowerment. Usually many of the texts also says like in this way. But in the Sudayana way also, when the Bodhisattva after they pass through all the 10 bhumis, and then the last moment of the 10 bhumi when before enter in the 11th bhumi, which is the Buddhahood, and then all the past and present and the future Buddhas, they confer the initiation of the, we call the Ozetshenpo one. Ozetshenpo means the great light empowerment. So that means that when the Bodhisattva obtained the 11th bhumi, so that means that Bodhisattva also become a fully enlightened and become a totally sameness as all the Buddhas, so there are no differences. I think that's the meaning of the sameness. That's the one of the characteristics of the Dharmakaya. And the second the characteristic of the Dharmakaya is we call the profound. Today we call the Zappa. Zappa means profound. So that means the profound means that Dharmakaya is not really easy to understand. It is very difficult to realize the Dharmakaya. If that is the very easy, so because from the beginning always sentient beings has a Buddha nature, but yet we are in the samsara, we are not really achieve high realization. So because of our ignorance, because of our negative activity, it's not really easy to understand, it's not really easy to realize the primordial wisdom. So that's why the Dharmakaya we call the profound is a Zappa. That is the second the characteristic of Dharmakaya. And then the The third characteristic of the Dharmakaya is the permanence. So it's a tapa. At the same time, you can learn some Tibetan words, yeah? That's good. Maybe it's a good lesson to learn some Tibetan words. So the permanence is a Tibetan word, the tapa, which is unchangeable. It's a totally. So that means that we call the. If we say the Buddha nature itself is the Dharmakaya, but we don't say from the Buddha seat it's not Dharmakaya, because there's two differences. All we sentient beings has a Buddha nature, and then all we are from the beginning, we are already enlightened. So that means there's no obscuration. There's no obscuration on the Buddha nature is fully enlightened from the beginning, but is the many of the teachings like Uttara Tantra also is mentioned that. So Buddha nature is something like example, it's give an example like sun, and then the sun is always there, the sun is always shining, but sometimes when they cover by cloudy, and it doesn't mean that the totally cover the sun, but it's just it's temporary, the obscuration is the cloudy. So similar to that, so there's two types of Buddha. One is the natural Buddha, which we can refer to all the sentient beings. We call the Rangjin Namda Sangye. Rangjin Namda means from the beginning, naturally all we are the Buddha. And then the excellent Buddha is the after the, because we are also we can say we are Buddha, but we are not Buddha that is not totally purify all the temporary obscuration. So we have also the Buddha nature, but it's obscured by the many temporary, the different negative karma and negative obscuration. So then when we enter into Bodhisattva practice and through the practice of the six paramita, and through that's why step by step all the negative deeds and all this one must have to purify. And then actually we said that when the Bodhisattva engage in the first level of the accumulation part, and that time so Bodhisattva purify the obscuration of karma. The obscuration of karma, which is refers to like ten non-virtue, like this kind of activity purify. And then when the Bodhisattva reach at the level of the first bhumi to the eighth bhumi, and that time the Buddha, at that time the Bodhisattva purified the obscuration, evicted emotion. So evicted emotion, and then eighth bhumi to the tenth bhumi, and the Bodhisattva purified the subtle evicted emotion, which we call the obscuration of knowledge of object. So we call that there's three types of obscuration. One is the karma obscuration, we call the legi jiva, and the second one is obscuration of afflicting emotions, so that the nyamongri jiva, and then the third one we call the obscuration of the knowledge of object, which is the shesha jiva. So the step by step through the practice of the Bodhisattva, so and to that's why one can purify all the temporary obscuration, and then after the 10 bhumi, so the Bodhisattva can become a fully enlightened. So that means the excellent Buddha, the who purify all the temporary obscuration. So that's the excellent Buddha. So if we say, so that's why sometimes also there is also argument. If we say the Buddha nature is also excellent, we can't say Buddha nature is excellent Buddha. If you say the Buddha nature is excellent Buddha, so then why we are in the samsara, all these sentient beings have to be fully enlightened. And if you say the Buddha nature is not excellent Buddha, and then beyond the Buddha nature we can't find any other Buddha. So therefore it's not exactly the subject from the Buddha nature. So that's why we call the Buddha nature is the very profound meaning, which is very difficult to understand. So that's why the second, the third one is the permanence, which is unchangeable from the beginning, which we have a transcendent in the Buddha nature, and the same is when we fully enlightened. So there's no differences between the from the beginning and the last when we become enlightened. So that's why we call the permanence. And then also it's called the fourth characteristic of the Dharmakaya, we call the oneness. So oneness also the one, it's a single. So there's no differences. So that means that all the sentient beings has the Buddha nature, we call the primordial the wisdom. So, but there is no differences. We can't say this is the Buddha nature of Buddha, this is the Buddha nature of Bodhisattva, this is the Buddha nature of the sentient being. So there's no differences. But of course, as I mentioned earlier, so there's a differences because of the purifier of the temporary obscuration. So that's what we call the omega three differences. From the sentient means Buddha nature, we call that madhava, means the impure. Impure means obscured by the temporary obscuration. So that's the period of time of obscure, impure. And then when the Bodhisattva reached it at the edge bhumi, and all the madhava is the ordinary being which is impure, and Matatapa is referred to the Bodhisattva. Bodhisattva means Bodhisattva also purify the temporary obscuration, but not fully purify. So that's why some part purify, some are not purified. So that's why we call that sort of mixture impure and then and purity. And then also when the Bodhisattva fully enlightened, and then we call the excellent the Buddha. So in this way, because of the temporary obscuration, so that's mega three, the differences from the point of view of the conventional way, but in the ultimate true way, so that's all the primordial wisdom, there's no differences. So that's called the oneness, the one, the same nature. And the fifth, the characteristic of the Buddha nature is called the perfection. Perfection is tapa. Tapa is very clear. There's no obscuration, so there's no unmistaking. So because because from the beginning, so as I mentioned, so there's no Buddha the nature not obscured by negative karma, negative obscuration. So therefore we say that sometimes give an example, the nature of the water is totally clean. Sometimes if we put there some dust, it's also become a sort of like unclean. But if we just leave it without touch, and from sometimes it's become natural, it's become a really clean. So that means that the nature of water is already clean. So we just have to, we not necessary to make a, if it's not necessary to clean, you just leave it like that, so it's going to be clear. So therefore, in order to recognize our own Buddha nature, so the main important thing is, of course, we need to, first we need to study all the philosophy texts, and then one must have to contemplate on that, and then one must have to practice all these things. But the main important thing is that when we're talking about the high level, like the mantra and the Tsokpa Chenpo, in that circumstance, one in order to recognize of this kind of our Buddha nature or Dharma Dhatu, whatever, so we shouldn't put any kind of effort in order to recognize. So you are saying that without seeing is the can't seeing, and without meditating is the can't meditation. So that means if you try to meditate and if you try to put more effort on it, and if you try to concentrate, or this kind of the meditation or this kind of the practices become like artificial meditation. So then in order to recognize, so the mainly this kind of the teachings you can receive from the Maha Buddha and Tsokpa Chenpo, and also in the Tantrayana when you're receiving the fourth initiation, which is the white initiation. So then Guru also giving an introduction of the how you are, what is the nature of the mind, and that circumstance is also without the meditating, and then also without meditating is without the conventional way, so one can directly recognize our the nature of mind. So that's the usually how the recognized way of our the Buddha nature. So that means from the beginning, so the primordial wisdom is unmistaken and that's totally pure, so that's what we call the perfection. And the same as another characteristic of the sixth one is called the purity. It's almost the same as the perfection. There's not much difference in the perfection. It's also like unmistaken. And then the purity is also free from the three obstruction, as I earlier mentioned. Obscuration of karma, obscuration of reflected emotion, obscuration of the object of knowledge. So these three different types of the obscuration can be not obscure totally the Buddha, the nature or the Dharmakaya. So that's why it's called the totally purity. And the seventh one is the clarity. So the Dharmakaya, so it means the clarity means, so there's no, the clarity means that in the Buddha, the Dharmakaya, so there's no negative, like the conceptual thought, there's no any projection, and there's no non-conceptual state. So that means the Dharmakaya is also from the beginning, there's no conception, there's no this kind of the projection, the thought. So that's what we call the totally clarity from the beginning. So sometimes also they say the Buddha Dharmakaya is, that's why in the you can see in the, maybe, I don't know, if you study in the Madhyamaka, the philosophy, so there are always the two types of, we call the Madhyamaka, Uma Rangdongpa. Rangdongpa is who says the Buddha nature itself is empty. Is it? Do you know that? You don't know. Might be maybe too confusing, I don't know. So, yeah. So, like the master, like Nagarjuna and all this, the flower of the master, we call the Tibetan, we call the Uma Rangdongpa. Rangdongpa means that Buddha nature itself is also empty. So there's no any clarity, there's no any endowed with any qualities. So that's called the totally empty, so there's no clarity. And on the other hand, many other masters like Asanga and then Maitreya and all these, we call those two lineages. One is the profound lineage, one is the action lineage. So the profound lineage is founder is Nagarjuna, we call the Manjushri and Nagarjuna and all like like Shadidewa and all these the muscles we call the profound view lineage muscles. So that's also explain the Buddha nature itself is also empty, so there's no endowed with any the quality. And then the action lineage, which is in refers to like the Buddha Maitreya and also Asanga and all this the lineage master. So that's the Buddha nature itself is not empty, it's endowed with all the Buddha's the quality. So that means it's also the Buddha nature is not only empty, it's also combined with the clarity. So I mean there's also endowed with many the Buddha's the quality. So that's why this is also a bit there's also a bit argument on this sort of topic. So maybe when you study deeper meaning, so maybe that time you can understand. Now I think better to don't talk these things, you know, because otherwise I don't know how you are, whether you are beginners or whether you receive many teachings. So otherwise, I had the last few years back when Dalai Lama, he gave Kalachakra in Australia, isn't it, last few years back. And I had that time Dalai Lama, he gave a teaching on this sort of like Madhyamaka, the philosophy. And they are, I think, the most of the people who attend Kalachakra, so those people are totally beginner, you know. And when the Dalai Lama directly, he teaches the Madhyamaka, as I mentioned earlier, this Umarang Dongpa and itself, emptiness, itself is not emptiness, endowed with all the quality. So it's because they become totally confused, you know. So then, so also many, some of my friends also, they told me they didn't understand any meaning, you know, so like that way. I don't know, so. But in order to understand this thing, you have to go deeper, I think, study. So that's why the one of the characteristics of the Dharmakaya is called the clarity. So it's endowed with all the Buddha's the quality. So that's why many, even now within the Tibetan Buddhism, I think the Gelugpa, yeah, and the Gelugpa and many other some schools also they follow this itself is also emptiness. And also from the Kamakagyu and Nyingmaba and some school also they are following the teachings of this itself is not emptiness, itself is also endowed with all the quality. So there's always sometimes the scholar also they defeat each other writing many things, you know. And the eighth characteristic of the Dharmakaya, so then what is the relationship to enjoyment? So that means that it's referred to the Sambhogakaya. Relationship to enjoyment means that the Dharmakaya is not totally separate from the Sambhogakaya. So means in order to, the Dharmakaya is like our mind. So in order to exist our mind, we must have to have a support. You know? So like, this building house is like, in this building is like the Sambhogakaya. And like we are also living in this building. So that's the, like, example, like the Dharmakaya. So that means that we, in order to relay on some, in order to, so the Dharmakaya means it's like our mind is also necessary to have support to some places. So that's why this means the relationship to enjoy, that means the Dharmakaya also have to support to Sambhogakaya or also the Nimakaya. So without the Nimakaya and Sambhogakaya, so we cannot find that this is the Dharmakaya. And when the Buddha totally enlightened, and then of course all the Buddhas live in the pure land. So that means in the pure land also they live in with the Dharmakaya form or live in the Nirmanakaya form. So their mind is totally become fully enlightened. So that's what we call from the sentient beings who has a mind, as we call the sending just like mind just on the consciousness, and then all the oscillation of this, all the electric emotion when totally purified, and then it is transformed into wisdom. So we call it Buddha has a wisdom, and the sentient being has a mind. But naturally, there's no difference in mind and wisdom. So there's only differences by the temporary obscuration, purify or not. That is the eight different types of the classification of the characteristic of the Dharmakaya. And then the second one, the Sambhogakaya. The Sambhogakaya also has eight different types of characteristics. And then the first one is we call the surrounding. So that means that the Sambhogakaya is also surrounded by the, surrounding means the retinue by the Bodhisattvas, like who lives in, and some, there's also some text also says that the Sambhogakaya also can see when the Bodhisattva reach at the first Bodhi level. And some also are saying that when the Bodhisattva reach at the eighth Bodhi's level, at that time so one can see the Sambhogakaya. So that's also maybe because of the Samlama also could see that Samlama, therefore on, according to their different the vision, so that's why many texts also wrote in a different way. So, but regardless of all this argument, so the meaning of sounding, that means the Sambhogakaya is also surrounded by the his or her retinue of all the Bodhisattva. So means that mainly the Bodhisattva Sambhogakaya also lives in the pure land and also surrounded by the older Bodhisattvas. So that's called the one of the characteristic of the Sambhogakaya is surroundings. And then, and the second characteristic of is the field of enjoyment. So that means the field of enjoyment is the completely pure Buddha field. The Nirmanakaya, as I mentioned, Nirmanakaya can be manifest anywhere. It can be manifest in the pure land, or it can be manifest in the impure land. And even we say that there are many manifestations of Avalokiteshvara, and some manifestation of Avalokiteshvara can be manifest as like flies, and also through this way when they fly, with, and also manifest to the flies, and also reciting the Om Mani Padme Mantra, that's also said, mentioned like in this way. So it's not necessary to born in the pure field. The Sambhogakaya is the only born, only abides in the pure Buddha field. So that's the second characteristic, which is the field of enjoyment. And then the third characteristic of the Sambhogakaya is the form of enjoyment. So that means the Sambhogakaya, the body or Sambhogakaya, the form is the form of the like Buddha Vairochana, or like and not only Vairochana, like Buddha Ashobe or Buddha Amitabha, and like in this kind of like the five Dhyanic Buddhas, different like the example of the five Dhyanic Buddhas in the form. So all the Sambhogakaya form is we can see in the Nirmanakaya form, as I mentioned, so it can be animals, it can be from human beings, it can be from many other different types of, in order to benefit for other sentient beings. But the Sambhogakaya, the form is only in the Sambhogakaya form, which is endowed with all the different ornaments, and you can see like Manjushri and Avalokiteshvara and Siddhi Garbha, and like this kind of the Bodhisattvas are in the form of the Sambhogakaya. And yeah, that's what we call the surrounding. This is the, we call the core. Core means is the retinue. And then field of enjoyment, that means we call the field, means jing. Tibetan we call the field is jing. And then the form of enjoyment is called the body, is how look like the body of the Sambhogakaya. And the fourth characteristic of Sambhogakaya is marks. So that means that marks is the, we call that Senpe, is endowed with all the major, major marks, which is the, we call the Tati tool, so which we doesn't have. Like Buddha has many, Buddha has all this kind of the 32 major marks and then 18 minor marks. So like this kind of, and all the all of this, the detail also mentioned in the Pangya Paramita text, and as well as in the text Uttaratantra Shastra. I think, yeah, that's also mentioned, all the detail, all the major marks and manner of marks, what kind of different cause and condition for each this mark, why Buddha get a deep mark, what necessary to accumulate merit in order to get this mark and that mark. So all of these things are the actually detailed mentioned in those the texts. So in order to obtain the single mark, so one must have to accumulate lots of different things. Yeah, so these are the, so that's why the Sambhogakaya form is always involved with all these marks. So Nirmanakaya is not necessary, but of course naturally, as I mentioned earlier, the Dharmakaya is also endowed with all the, from the beginning, all endowed with all the Buddha's quality. That means Nirmanakaya has also this kind of the seed of qualities, but the form doesn't exist. All these the measure and manner marks. So this is the fourth characteristic of Sambhogakaya. And then the fifth characteristic is full enjoyment of Dharmakaya. So that means the full enjoyment of, sorry, full enjoyment of Dharma. So that means the Dharma, the Sambhogakaya is always teaching complete Mahayana teachings. So Sambhogakaya, the Sambhogakaya from never teach the Hinayana teaching. Like Buddha Shakyamuni is Nirmanakaya, and Buddha Shakyamuni, he teaches sometimes Mahayana teachings to the Maitreya and Manjushri and so this kind of retinue. And at the same time also Buddha Shakyamuni give the teachings of Hinayana or Theravada teachings. And at the same time also secretly Buddha also manifests as a Vajradhara, and also Buddha from the Tantri, the teaching. So that's why the Nirmanakaya, the form, can teach this kind of all the different vehicles, the teachings. But the Sambhogakaya only keeps the teachings of the Mahayana teachings. So that's the definite, the teachings only the Mahayana. So that's what we call the Sambhogakaya is the five excellent. The first excellent, like the retinue, is only Mahayana. So there's no Theravada, or there's no any ordinary beings, the retinue of the Sambhogakaya who lives in the pure land. Retinue is only Mahayana core. And the time is that there's no limited, there's limitless. And the Nirmanakaya, the teachings sometimes can turn the Dharma with, sometimes cannot. But the Sambhogakaya, the teaching time is unlimited, that's the time. And then the place is only the pure land, the Sambhogakaya, the pure, the excellent of land is only pure land. And then the Dharma is the only excellent of Dharma is only Mahayana, and then also the teacher is the Sambhogakaya form. We call this the Sambhogakaya form is always endowed with this the five the excellence. So that's also mentioned in some other texts. That's the fifth enjoyment of Dharma, means the teaching completely Mahayana teachings. And then the activities, The activities of the Sambhogakaya, so that means the activities of Sambhogakaya means always giving the prophecy. When the Bodhisattva, as yesterday I mentioned, so there's a different, when Bodhisattva reaching the different level, and during the different level, so Bodhisattva receiving the different prophecy, but the definite prophecy will obtain when Bodhisattva reach at the Bhumi level, and then Bodhisattva receive the prophecy that you will become a Buddha in that time, in that place, and this kind of retinue, and all of this kind of definite prophecy will receive during the Bhumi level. So the receiver of this prophecy is the Bodhisattva, and also who give this prophecy is by the Sambhogakaya. So Dharmakaya cannot give. Dharmakaya do not have form, and in order to give a prophecy must have to depend on form. So the form is the Sambhogakaya. So it cannot be Nirmanakaya. So therefore the one characteristic of that one is the activity is always the giving the prophecy to the Bodhisattva. And also not only prophecy, of course, by giving the teaching to the high level Bodhisattva. So that's the activity of Sambhogakaya. And then the seventh characteristic of the Sambhogakaya is spontaneity. So that's the spontaneity. That means that all the activities of the Sambhogakaya is not necessary to depend on effort. So without the perseverance, without effort, everything is also, it comes, everything can be manifest spontaneously. So the Nirmanakaya is also have to, sometimes we say that some of the Nirmanakaya have to depend on the depend on perseverance, and sometimes like the Buddha give teaching, sometimes also Buddha go to for begging food, the Nirmanakaya form, and sometimes Buddha like sleep, and also this kind of many different types of like the activities. The Sambhogakaya activity spontaneously means not depend on the perseverance, so effortless it is. And the eighth characteristic of the Sambhogakaya is that naturally non-existing. So the naturally non-existing, so that means in the conventional way, of course there is the color, and there's also Bodhisattva also endowed with many different, as earlier mentioned, the 32 natural marks and 18 mental marks, like this kind of many, the quality. But the naturally not exists, so that means the naturally the Sambhogakaya is also not separate from the Dharmakaya. So that's the eight different types of the Sambhogakaya. And now the third one is the Nirmanakaya, and also Nirmanakaya also has eight different types of characteristic. And then the first one is the basis, we call that ten. Ten means the Nirmanakaya also its basis is the Dharmakaya, which is earlier mentioned unmovable and like permanence and always. So without the Dharmakaya, Nirmanakaya cannot be manifest. So in order to manifest, in order to benefit for sentient beings, so then one must have to have the Dharmakaya. So in this case, so Dharmakaya is like sun, and then the Nirmanakaya is the reflection of sun in the water. So if there's no sun, so you cannot see the reflection of sun in the water. So similar to that, so without the Dharmakaya, so we cannot see the the Nirmanakaya. So that's why the Nirmanakaya is always depend, always based on the Dharmakaya. So that's the, I think the first characteristic is basis, which is the, it's called the ten. And also the second characteristic is we call the causes. So that means that the Nirmanakaya also it arise from the it arise from the one is the compassion of the Buddha. So that means yeah, there's also many actually the arguments. So sometimes also Buddha, there are also many, sometimes also he said that Buddha has wisdom. So in this case, if you say like, so the Nirmanakaya is also arise to the cause of the cause of Buddha's the compassion in order to benefit sentient beings. So that means in the, it shows that the Buddha also, the primordial also Buddha has a compassion. Some also says that the Buddha has two types of wisdom. One is the conventional wisdom, we call the Hunzuk Ishe, and the one is the attributed wisdom, the Dondam Ishe. So some say the Buddha has the conventional wisdom and an attributed wisdom, because in order to benefit, otherwise, if Buddha do not have these two types of wisdom, and then Buddha cannot benefit for all the sentient beings. So therefore, so Buddha has these two types of wisdom. And then some also saying that if Buddha have the conventional way of wisdom, and then also Buddha that also that means so Buddha also still have a kind of the conceptual thought. So on this matter, so Milarepa, also actually Milarepa, he said that it will not necessary to argue, it not necessary to argue in this kind of topic. Even if we ask the Buddha whether Buddha you have a wisdom or not, maybe he won't be answer anything. So Milarepa, he said like in this way. So of course in the ultimate way we can say that Buddha, if we say also in the ultimate way the Buddha has a wisdom, and also this is also an extreme. If we say Buddha doesn't have a wisdom, so that's also extreme. So that means that when we're talking about the high level of the Mother America philosophy, so then there's a beyond the two extremes, so we cannot express, because we cannot express so this kind of thing, because it's beyond our level. Like somebody has mentioned in the Pangyaparamita text, so that this kind of like Pangyaparamita, the emptiness teaching is beyond expression. So he said like it only can be experienced by the practitioner. If we can't say, we cannot explain that is exist or that is not exist. So if you say like this, it is not affirmative way. Therefore actually in the conventional way we said the second characteristic of the Nirmanakaya is also arise from the great compassion of the Buddha. So that's the second the causes. And then the third characteristic of the Nirmanakaya is field. The field of the Nirmanakaya is can be fully pure or fully impure. Like we can see like five Dhyani Buddhas. Sometimes like five Dhyani Buddha is in the form of Sambhogakaya, and then sometimes also this five Dhyani Buddha is in the Nirmanakaya form. So that means when the five Dhyani Buddha in the Nirmanakaya form, in that case so those the five Dhyani Buddhas are in the Nirmanakaya, and also yeah they are also living in the pure land. So that means the Nirmanakaya whether it can be abides in the pure, fully pure land. And the full, and also the, at the same time, the Nirmanakaya also can be abides in the impure field. So as like Buddha Shakyamuni, also he born as a, just a, in ordinary or the place, so then in the ordinary way. So that means also it's Nirmanakaya can be born in the pure land or impure land. So that's the, as earlier mentioned, the Sambhogakaya is always in the fully pure land, it cannot be the impure land field. And the fourth, the characteristic of the Nirmanakaya is the time. So that means the time of the time of benefiting the activities of Nirmanakaya is unceasing. So that means without interrupting. So it's continuously also as long as the world exists. So and that much so Buddha's the manifestation also it can be realized from time to time. So that means we call that in this our world, like the Buddha Shakyamuni, 2500 years before, so Buddha Shakyamuni, he was born in India. Now he pre-Nirvana, but it's not the Buddha's manifestation is not only that one. He said at the same time there are 100,000 of the Buddha manifestation, and some other worlds, and nowadays also Buddhas, some Buddhas becoming enlightened, some Buddha is giving, turning the Dharma wheel, and some Buddha is also just taking birth, and some Buddha is also praying, also passing away. In this kind of the activity is unceasing, always showing the Buddha's activity, so there's no end. As I mentioned, so as long as our samsara is there, so that much the Buddha's activity will be continuity. So that's also saying that in order to receive this kind of the Buddha's activity. So the one of the Jikan Sumgon is the teaching also mentioned. So Buddha activity, it doesn't mean, I think that's quite important, Buddha activity, it doesn't mean that is only manifest by Buddha. So the Jikan Sumgon, he said any kind of the benefit, the activity, it can be any kind of the activity of the benefiting the action are it described as the manifestation of the Buddha. So that means when we're talking about the Dharmakaya, which is the Dharmakaya is the empty side, and also when we're talking about this kind of like outer object like this table and this cup and all these kind of the objects are in the nature of this, the objects is also the emptiness. So if someone asks, is there any differences between the outer, the emptiness, and also the Dharmakaya emptiness, so nobody can judge there's a difference in the emptiness. In this way, so all kind of the phenomena are the nature of the Dharma Dhatu. Yeah? So that's also mentioned like this way. So therefore, and in the conventional way, all this kind of the activity which is showing the benefit for the sentient beings, it can be described as the emanation of Buddhas or the activity of the Buddhas. So that's also the one, the teaching of the Jikan Sumgon. So therefore, he also says that even the non-Buddhists who hold the like the wrong view, such as the wrong view of permanent, and also the wrong view of nihilism, so there's no existing anything. So in this kind of activity, and also even he said there's the activity even through our anger and the attachment, and ignoring all this kind of the negative obscuration also is can be function as a Buddhist activity. Because he also said, he also explained like that, sometimes through the anger, if you did some kind of negative activity, maybe through your out of some anger, if you kill animal or maybe small insect, and then the later on, and then when you feel regret of, you feel very sorry for that, and that means because of you, because of your anger, so before you get anger and then later on when you will get regret and sorry for that, because the cause of your anger and later on you also achieve the love and compassion and this kind of the regret activity. So even this kind of the anger also showing the activities of the Buddhas. So he says like in this way. I think this teaching is quite profound. It's not really easy to understand. So, yeah, so therefore the time of the Buddha, the Nirmanakaya, is unceasing, so his Buddha's activity will be always there. And the now it comes the nature of the Nirmanakaya is the same as when we're talking about the nature of the Nirmanakaya, so that means it's the same as the before, as we mentioned, and the Sambhogakaya not existing, so that means the same as the Sambhogakaya, the Nirmanakaya, the nature is also manifest as the Dharmanakaya. So that's the non-existing, so that's so that the nature is always same as the Sambhogakaya. And then the sixth characteristic of the Nirmanakaya, so that is the we call the engaging, that we call the jupa, engaging into the activity, engaging. So that means that, engaging through the, three types of nirvana, that we call the Shavaka Buddha, and then the Pratyeka Buddha, and also, and the Mahayana, the Parinirvana, all these are the engaging activity of the Nirmanakaya. So there are, we say also the when we're talking about the Shavakas, like Buddha Shakyamuni is his main disciple, like Shariputra and Mongaliputra. So usually we say these are also Shavakas Buddha, those are not Mahayana flower, but we say all these kind of not always this the Shavakas are Hinayana, so the Buddha's the manifestation in order to benefit in the lower vehicle, and also the then this kind of the Shariputta and Moggaliputta also manifest as a lower vehicle. So that's why it's not there. So therefore the Buddha manifestation is engaging in the different types of Nirvana. So that's the call. And then the seven characteristic is the maturing. So that means the through the Nirmanakaya and also and through the Nirmanakaya in order to benefit for the sentient beings and also in order to accumulate merit for others and also in many different form it shows, and also the people also leads on the path. And this kind of the activities also from the Nirmanakaya. And then the eighth characteristic of the Nirmanakaya is liberating. So this is in some ways not only the Nirmanakaya, actually the Sambhogakaya is also the Sambhogakaya. The activity is also liberating the Bodhisattva, but in this case, because the Sambhogakaya's the characteristic is not mentioned the liberating, so that means that those kind of Bodhisattva who reach already at the eighth bhumi, so that means the Bodhisattva who reach at the eighth bhumi is cannot be returned into the samsara. because the cause of the samsara is the fully abandoned when the Bodhisattva reached at Bhumi. So, as I mentioned earlier, the eclectic emotion is abandoned when Bodhisattva reached at Bhumi level. So then the Bodhisattva is fully, even not yet fully enlightened, but it cannot be written into the samsara by the negative causing conditions. Of course, in order to benefit, it can be manifested in the different form. So in the activity of the Nirmalkaya is liberating. So that means the ordinary sentient beings who did not enter into the path, and through the Dharma teaching, through the many different kind of the activity. So when the Nirmalkaya shows in the different activities, so through that's why they are so liberated. So we call the sentient beings who are not liberated from the lower realms, those are also liberated to the higher realm. And then the sentient beings who are in the higher realms, so they are liberated to the Shavaka or the Patiyaka in the causal level. And then the Shavaka and Patiyaka Buddha, those beings are also liberated to Bodhisattva's level. And then Bodhisattva who are not fully become enlightened, and they are also liberated totally, fully enlightened. In this way, step by step, so through the Nirmalakaya's activity also, it can be lead to all the beings in this way, lead to Buddhahood. So that's the eight characteristic of the Nirmalakaya. Should I say more or just enough? Better to do practice, isn't it? Do you have any questions? Sorry?
Mm-hmm. Shakyamuni?
Mm-hmm. That's not really directly the manifestation of the Buddha Shakyamuni, but you can say, like when we're talking about the compassion Buddha, Avalokiteshvara, and the Manjushri wisdom, so we say the Manjushri and Avalokiteshvara, in particular, those teachings are the emanation of compassion and love of all the thousand Buddhas. So that means you can also say that there's no, in the ultimate way, so there's no difference between the Buddha Shakyamuni or Buddha Maitreya and whatever. But in that case, when we're talking about the Manjushri and Avalokiteshvara manifestation of all the thousand Buddhas, so then in all the thousand Buddhas, Buddha Shakyamuni also include in that way. So you can say like that way. But yeah, but the Buddha Shakyamuni is just, he's also one of his, the Nirmalakaya form appeared in this world. But still, he's the manifestation, as I mentioned, so it can be at the same time, 100,000 manifestation. It's not necessarily to be on this planet, so it can be many other planet manifestation. Yeah. Yeah. Vajradhara, you can say Vajradhara when we're talking about the, as earlier I mentioned, each the kaya also contains other two. So that means that in the form of the Vajradhara, and also you can say as a Sambhukaya, but that's, of course, is the Vajradhara has a fully enlightened, and Vajradhara has a full the wisdom, so that part is the Dharmakaya. So when we're talking about the Vajradhara, so Vajradhara, Vajradhara is not directly referred to his body. So Buddha, he said there is that if someone sees Buddha as a form, Kantal Mala Zusutam, if someone sees me as a form, Kantal Mala Zusutam, Kantal Mala Dachava, if someone sees me as a sound, and those people are entering into the wrong part. So that means that the real the Buddha is, there's no form, which is only the referred to the Dharmakaya. So that means if you see the Vajradhara is in the form way, so that's just in order to benefit for beings, just appear as a form. But the main one is also referred to is the wisdom. Yeah? Any other questions? Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Oh, that's a very debatable question again. Because there are many commentaries, you know, like in this kind of words, especially in this kind of topic, explained in the Madhyamaka and other Abhidharma and many other texts, and the each Indian masters and Tibetan masters from the different schools also they compose different commentary, and the different commentary also explained in a different way. And the sum also says that sum means even the Jikan Sungun, he composed one text which they call Gongjik. In that text, Gongjik also, he mentioned that the Shavaka Buddhas are equivalent to the sixth Bhumi, according to the Bodhisattva level. Because he said that when the Bodhisattva reached at the sixth Bhumi, and then also that Bodhisattva also understood, detail all the meaning of the trailing interdependent origination. And then the Shavaka Buddha also when they become their Buddha, and then also they fully understood the meaning of the trailing interdependent origination. So therefore, he said he's the equivalent to the six Bhumis. And then the Shavaka Buddha is the equivalent to the eight Bhumi. So because he said that also, when Bodhisattva reached at the eighth Bhumi level, and then Bodhisattva also abandoned fully every emotion, and plus that also he or she whatever abandoned the some part of the obscuration of knowledge of object, we call the Shesadeva. And then the Shavaka Buddha also abandoned fully electric emotion, and then plus that also this the part of the take this what's called the obscuration of object of knowledge. So therefore they are also the equivalent of the eighth Bhumi. So it doesn't mean it's equivalent to the Bodhisattva or the six Bhumis or eighth Bhumi, whatever. So it doesn't mean that the Shavaka Buddha and Gautama Buddha, they reach at that level. So the meaning is that like it can be like if one person never go to school, and yet that person he or she can have good knowledge. When they say, I don't have any degree, but through my own experience, I have equivalent knowledge of like this and that. So it doesn't mean that he reached to that level, so he has a equivalent knowledge of that level. So that's why, so, and then, so therefore, some also texts also mention when they sooner or later all the Shavaka or Pratika Buddha, they have to enter into Mayana path in order to achieve fully enlightenment. And then some say because the Shavaka Buddha and Pratika Buddha, they have to enter from the beginning the path of Mayana, like accumulation path is from the beginning. And then some say, no, that's not necessary to enter from that. And then because they already reach, they already have equivalent in the knowledge of that and that. So that's why it can be entered from the seeing path, which we call the Pongan. And then the, some say, no, that Bodhisattva, Shavaka Buddha, he directly can enter from the Adbhumi. So that's actually some different commentaries says different meaning and also the different explanation and different reason also. I think that many of those commentaries explain in a different way, because according to the lamas on their vision, according to the lamas on their which way they process the path, how they lead the path into. That's why I think they also compose in a different way. This is also very debatable actually. Sometimes when the monks, they debate, when it comes to this sort of topic, and then they debate hours and hours, you know. Sometimes they're just waiting for bell, you know, when they're waiting. Sometimes when they come this kind of very important key, you know, so then they ignore the bell also, you know, they're debating hours and hours. It's a very intense topic. Yeah.
Side question. In the prison, we have many kayas, buddhas, all willing to help and all that sort of sentient beings, right? But it's kind of like, let's say human, by other religion, they have, you know, many cases or have been more effective in links than the prison.
Is it?
It's a side question. Example, you see a lot of the pandemic, mass, whatever.
Yeah, healing means
they gather in the stadium, like people.
This kind of activity.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the really quite obvious, as yesterday I mentioned, you know, because that's the really quite obvious, because since we are living in this the samsara. And you know, might be like, if I just tell all the time, might be job and job, maybe you people more like, because you have as I mentioned yesterday, I don't think it's today, yesterday, so because all we have we have one consciousness where I store all the our, the positive or negative things, basic consciousness, where all the positive or negative, whatever we perform, the any kind of activity, where store all the seed, what is called? It's also part of consciousness, but it's very, we call the kunji, the best or something. Anyway, so because we live in the samsara. And of course, nowadays more and more people are getting more anger and more desire. And I think that's quite obvious. As much as outer things are developing, so that much our inner quality is losing. That's really quite obvious, you know. Like in the ancient time, of course, the people are not that much, knowledge, like, and they are not really luxury things, they're not really good things as nowadays, like new technology. But yeah, the people are very peaceful and very happy and also very friendly, even if they fight today. And I heard from the many old people in Ladakh, you know, when they bring that old age, when they sometimes they drink and they become very drunk and then they fight. And then next day, tomorrow, they become again friendly. They are not really keeping in the mind. Nowadays, I mean, people are really becoming more aggressive, and they are also fighting for the land. in Ladakh, in former time, last 20 years, maybe 10 years, let's say, there's lots of the old land just not belonging to any family, just totally free land. Now people are getting more grasping and more desiring, this is my land, and then now they're fighting, all this kind of, and then lots of disaster things are really arising, you know. So therefore, in that much, so people are also accumulating all this kind of negative karma, negative emotion, thoughts, increasing, and these things are totally against with the Dharma. When you engage into Dharma, and one must have to avoid all of these things and totally pure compassion and love and only think of other sentient beings, and these kind of things are there's a different way. And then, so that's why since people are living in the samsara and all also, everything is also ruling by the own anger and attachment and on our grasping. And because of that, also they're losing the good qualities. And then only just thinking for this life and enjoyment and all these things, you know. That's why I think it can be healing in this way. Huh? I don't think so. These things are really positive thing. I don't know. I think that's it's really, you know, like sometimes also some people from the it's always depend on the seat of the karma. Like some people, some children from the beginning, when they're young age, they really love and compassion to the sentient, the small insect and these things. That means that they have, that children has a very good strong accumulated something from their previous life, and always have a connection with our previous connection with it. I'm not sure exactly what you are saying is I got it, answer or not. Is it you mean that now as people are getting big?
Other
religion or other method, mm-hmm. have more healing than the religious because of your power. But the reason because a lot of Dhamma, Kaya, Mahakaya, Sambhu Kaya, so all of the Buddha, so
healing, I couldn't understand exactly the meaning of. Are you talking about the other religion? Yeah. I mean, I'm not really bringing up religion as a method, but I'm saying Buddhism.
Uh-huh.
We got so many of these, Buddhas. Mm-hmm.
And then also, I think that's also one, sometimes also is affected, especially in the young age, you know. In the Buddhism, more, now is also still some things are also changing according to the time. Also, nowadays also they start chanting all the prayers and everything with the melody and all the, in the Kroma time, they are not exit all of these things. And some other religions, like Hinduism, in the Christianity, and they also, when they go to any their temple or whatever, and then they play music and all this, in this way they are also doing the prayer. These things are more exciting, and at the same time doing prayer, and sometimes at the same time they are also enjoying all this kind of music instrument, you know. And this kind of activity is also not really existing in the Buddhism. So. Yeah, maybe I don't know, maybe you people also know that maybe it's recently happened that sometimes also within the Tibetan Buddhism, some lamas also they start chanting and also maybe dance, you know, dance with the Dharma song. That's also happened. I heard there's a thousand of people crowded and come to listen. I don't know, actually this is a so it's also, that means according to the Buddha's teaching rule, it didn't mention you have to do like in this way, but this is sort of like that, it's attractive for the people, you know, isn't it? Even the one hour Rinpoche, when he was in Thailand, so he sing, he dance, and he said, I have many young people attractive and many, people they convert into Buddhists and happen like that way, you know. Usually when the one Lama or Lama whatever, when he give traditionally teaching like according to tradition, maybe only just a few number of people. So Yeah, this is the, this is the really have to think and what is the reason. I think because of the people also need something very, people wanted to not only focusing Dharma, people wanted to have something really, something to see and something kind of, you know, like as example, like when we perform the puja and when we perform the incense and things, there are many playing music and chanting, repeating, there's many things, ceremony. I think people also used to perform together these things of activity, and people like enjoying this kind of activity rather than listening, maybe some boring and sleeping, you know. So this is a natural thing happening, you know. Then shall we do now together some chanting prayer together? Do you have the prayer there? So first we, three times we do the refuge, this Sangha Shodham prayer together. And then after that, is there four immeasurable? Is there or not?
Yeah.
Yeah, four immeasurable, the love and compassion and equanimity and rejoice. So this four immeasurable practice for three times. And then there's a prayers to Buddha Amitabha, four lines.
Should be everything. Yeah.
So there's no translation yet. To some devotee, should you go? Should you go? But it will send a number to you. Number of the book, this is Opa Mila Chas alone. So that's the prayers to Buddha Amitabha. That is the Chogyu. Yeah, to some worship of Chogyu means the three times of the Buddha, you are the Dharmakaya, and in the form of, so you are manifest as Avalokiteshvarava, who has 11 feet, and then the top of the 11 feet is also the Amitabha was sitting there. So that's why it's a prayer to Buddha Amitabha, and after this prayer, so then we can chant. For the sometime we chant together with the melody, and then also we can chant for some time with the your own way, keep silent way, we can chant some mantra, and then after the fourth line is a dedication. Gyawa digging you do that. Oba meba do this doaji can maluba te sala kobe shobe means that Gyawadi is the water Gyawadi you do that. So by the virtue of this the prayer, and may accomplish the Amitabha, and then all may I liberate all the sentient beings linked to the Buddha Amitabha pure land. So that's the dedication prayer, and then after that, then again. The next one is the prayers to the Avalokiteshvarava, is it?
Can you go down?
With?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Chagam Guru Gini Gyapotong, Chagam Gaba Zambe Sangye Tong, Gangla Kangdu Thela Te Tongbe, Sumpa Chana Zingla Chasalo. So that's the meaning is Chagam Guru Gini Gyapotong. So you have your Chagam is the 10,000 arms, so it's one of the Avalokiteshvara manifestation. Chagam Guru Gyuri Gyalpotong, Chantong Kalpazante Sangyatong. So that Chagam is the assembly of the 1,000, the king, who manifests to benefit for sentient beings. And the Chantong Kalpazante Sangyatong, on the each of the hand has 1,000 eyes, is the symbolic of the 1,000 Buddhas, Chantong Kalpazante Sangyatong. Kangla Kangla, there are days on there, in order to subdue to different the beings, and then you also form as a different, in a different form, and so, and then Sumbhaj Chandra is so, I bow down or attack respectful to you, the Chandra Sikh. So that's the place to our Lord Vishwarupa, and then again we recite the mantra of our Lord Vishwarupa, and then the same again, the four line is dedication, Javadi Mududa, and Chandra Sikh on Dugina, Tawaji Kamarupa, Telisalaka. It's the same as earlier dedication, only changing the name, you know. So the, instead of Bapa Mepa, we change the our Lord Vishwarupa, it is our Lord Vishwarupa. So same as the meaning, may I, by the ratio of this, and also may I complete our Lord Vishwarupa, and also may lead all the sentiments to his land. So that's the, we can send the dedication prayer. And after that, the Guru Rinpoche, which is the Nirmanakaya. Gyalak Panchen Polna Katinche, Gyalak Panchen. Gyalak Panchen is the great Indian Pandita, which is so kind to the Tibet, because Guru Rinpoche is so kind because he brought the Buddhist teachings into Tibet. So that's why you are the very kind for Tibet. Preman Jungling Kula, that means you are born in a lotus, so you are never die, so your body is never, cannot be die, so like that. Nowadays you are still living in the Raksha land and also benefiting for those Raksha beings. So then we are posting to the Guru Bhema Sambhava. This also prays to Guru Bhema Sambhava. Then again we prays to Uma Umbhanda Guru Bhema Siddhanta Guru Rinpoche's mantra. And then again, same time, then the dedication, just only changing the name of Guru Rinpoche, Gyawadi Mirudo, Uyam Pema Dukdina, Dova Chikyam Maluwa, Teyes, or the cover show, same as like, may, by the ratio of this, the prayers may accomplish the Guru Rinpoche, and also lead all the sentiments to the Guru Rinpoche land. So that is the short. So actually, we don't have a time to follow the long sadhana. Of course, usually Chandrajik has a long sadhana, our Lord Vishwarupa Guru Rinpoche, each deity has a long sadhana, but this time we together do short chanting prayer, so sort of together. And then, as I mentioned earlier, the most important thing is while you are chanting prayers, sometimes so you, as much as you can, so you with the song, your devotion, without distraction, and also thinking of other sentient beings, so we chant together. The meaning of actually when we reciting the mantra, so that means we are reciting of the name of the deity. So when we reciting like the Om Mani Padme Hum, so that means that Om Mani Padme Hum is really talking about the Avalokiteshvarava, like the Om Mani is referred to jewel. Pema is the lotus, so that means that in the Avalokiteshvarava also is holding the one jewel, and also they're holding one lotus. So that means that we are talking, describing the his quality and also reciting the name of Avalokiteshvarava. So that means if we recite the deity's name with our devotion, and through this way, of course, the one thing is that we are not wasting our time, we are not talking gossip, we are reciting some of the holy deity names. And the main important thing is through this way, with our strong devotion, and then also we can receive the blessing. That I remember one of the teachers from the Bhutan, so he was saying that, I asked him, what is the point to reciting mantra? So he said, he asked me, what is your name? So I said, my name is Kimparamlo. And then he said, if somebody was calling to you outside, So if somebody calling Kempo Rangdo, you know, so what are you going to do? And I said, of course, if somebody calling, so maybe I go and help to Lou, maybe I can help to him or whatever. So that's as much I can do. And he said, oh, that's the only thing like this way. When you calling to the deity, so then you need some help. So you also need some help, means you need a guide from the deity, you need a blessing from deity. And so that means that we are making more close to the deity and by reciting the name. And then sometimes when really through our practice, the high practitioner, the practitioner can really see deity. And even many of the high vision master, they can, that all the protectors are there like servant, their attendant, you know. They can also use as a even like one of our great master, the Dharmakirti in the Tibetan tradition. So he was a really great, the powerful master. He always used all the protector to you do like that. You know how the government, they use all the police, the government, so you go there and keep protect like this way. The master has the power to use all the protectors. And I had also during that time, so when we offer the Torah, usually when we recite the text according to Sadhana, when we need, there's also one reception prayer sometimes, now the text, the Torah, and during his time, he's a very powerful one. When we recite this, when we reach that recitation prayer, Dharma also is goes naturally fly to outside, you know. So that must be very powerful. So the meaning is that now when we reciting the mantra, so we are getting more connection to deity, and then also if you have enough practice and enough devotion, and then also getting more close, and then in the finally it becomes sort of like you are very close friend, and then whenever you need a help, so it's very easily can help. So you can, there's many like story sometimes. There was also like Asanga, when he was debating with the non-Buddhists, and then Asanga, his deity is Buddha Maitreya, when he was debating, so he always giving answer very slowly, because he getting the answer from Buddha Maitreya, you know, so that's why he takes time to give an answer. So like this way, then also one managed to do practice very precisely, so then also happened like in this kind of the beneficial. So that's just general explanation. So now we do according to this. Now, as I mentioned, so we do together chanting prayer with a good motivation.